health regimens can be exhausting and tiring at the time. If you've ever done much exercising, you know that. But then later it makes you stronger. But I have a bag with me today. And so we want to look in the bag and see what we've got. And I don't know if you can guess, seeing how this is a nice food bag, but because of our topic, maybe you know. You recognize a candle, of course. And here we have a flashlight, not very bright. Needs new batteries, I reckon. And we also have a fluorescent light bulb and an incandescent light bulb. I'm going to lay those up there for you to see while we talk about light a little bit. Our lesson this morning is let your light shine. And the scriptures that we're going to be looking at primarily are Matthew chapter 5 verses 14 through 16 that was read to us just a little while ago. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So we look at these different kinds of lights here. The candle and the light bulb, the flashlight, could have gotten a floodlight or a spotlight up here as well. But as we think about it, they all serve the same purpose, don't they? To light the way. Now, some may do it a little more brightly than others. The candle certainly is not going to light up a whole room this size by itself. But then again, neither is one light bulb. You see, we need dozens of light bulbs in order to light up a huge area like this. Well, it works the same way with us. We have to let our light shine. But in doing that, we must realize that not everybody's light shines quite as brightly. We also realize that, of course, some, like a flash bulb, may shine very brightly for a very brief period of time. And others, like that little fluorescent bulb, may not put out a whole lot of light, but they may do it for many, many years. And each of us has a different talent in that area as far as how much light we can produce. But we need to be putting out our fullest extent of light, the fullest amount we can. You look over here to the middle, you see one of the light bulbs over here is burned out. Now, y'all know I left that way on purpose so I could use it as an illustration, right? But that light bulb is not doing its job. It's not providing light. If all the rest of the bulbs were doing the same thing that one is doing, it would be pretty dark in here. Because the only light we would have would be what's coming in through the windows. And that wouldn't be much. We've got to be putting out light. Now, the other thing that we need to understand about lights, and light bulbs in particular, that light's not glowing very brightly, is it? Well, no, of course it's not. Well, why not? Well, because it's not screwed into a power source. There's no power to light this bulb. And we're the same way as this light bulb. We can't light ourselves. We can't glow of our own light. Just like the moon reflects the sun's light, we have to reflect the light of the Savior, Jesus Christ. And just like the sun has to be powered by those nuclear explosions that are taking place within it, so we have to have some sort of a power source. This bulb works on electricity. We wouldn't work too well on electricity. We'd get shorted out, and our heart would probably stop pretty quickly if we were jolted with as much electricity as that bulb needs to glow. But we do have a power source that we have to tap into if we're going to light the world. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. But we're going to have to be lit. We're going to have to get that light from a source, from God. God gives us the power to shine. We can't do it on our own. So let's look at a few things about light. Light dispels darkness. John chapter 12 and verse 35, Jesus said, "A little while longer, the light is with you." He was talking about Himself, of course. "Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness doesn't know where he's going." You ever try to walk around in the dark? Stumble into things? Stub your toe? Trip over something? Bump into something? When you try to walk in the dark, you can't tell where you're going. But light provides us the ability to know where we're going. Then secondly, we see that light gives direction. There in John 12 and verse 35, I'm sorry, I read that already. In John chapter 12 and verse 46, light dispels the darkness. Jesus said, "I have come as a light in the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness." So He gives us the ability to have light. He came to be a light in the world. And then that light gives us the direction so we can know where we're going. So we can know which way is the right way. You know, if you're walking down a street at night, you try to stay in the areas where the street lights are. You don't try to wander off into the dark areas too much. You don't wander off into the woods at night where there's no light. You want to be able to know where you're going. You go into the woods during the day when the sun's shining so you can see your way. But at night, you get lost in there pretty quickly. But light also gives us life. John 8 and verse 12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Now we know that certainly the sunlight gives us life here on this earth. If the sun were to go out, aside from the colossal explosion that would probably rock this world, if it just stopped shining, what would happen? Well, the first thing to go, of course, would probably be the plants. Because those plants just can't live without the light. Of course, we'd also get very cold very quickly. And if we didn't have some source of power, we'd get cold and freeze to death. But if we could survive long enough through that cold, we would eventually starve to death, because after the plants all died, the animals would all die as well. And after the plants and animals died, we wouldn't be far behind, because we wouldn't have anything to eat. Certainly, light gives life. Without the light, we wouldn't have the things we need to survive. So in the same way, in Christianity, light dispels the darkness of false teaching and the darkness of ignorance. The light gives us direction, lets us know where we need to be going to head toward heaven. And it gives us life, not just physical life, but spiritual life. So these three things about light are so very important. We need to understand the privilege that is involved in getting to be a light for Jesus. We sing that song, "Be a Light for Jesus," every day. We didn't sing it this morning, I don't think, but we do sing it sometimes. Be a light for Jesus. That's a wonderful song, and that's one of the things we need to do, but we need to understand what a privilege that is. Jesus doesn't let just anybody be a light for Him. You've got to submit yourself to Him in order to do that. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 18 through 21, Paul talks about how we are ambassadors for Christ. Now, these little light bulbs are made by various different companies. And depending on the company, we think, well, that's a good light bulb because that's made by GE or that's made by Sylvania or whatever it might be. That's a good one. And then we get the little package for a dollar at the dollar store and say, well, these are just cheap bulbs. Of course, sometimes that can be deceiving. Sometimes you get a bulb that says it's an extra long life bulb, guaranteed to last a year, and it burns out in a month. That's not much of a bulb, is it? But you see, we're the same way. Because we wear the name Christian and we're shining our light in the world, when people look at us, it reflects on Christ. We're His ambassadors. Just as the light bulb is the ambassador for the company that made it. That light bulb gives us either a good or a bad impression of the company that produced that bulb. And we give people either a good or a bad impression of Jesus Christ who produced us. And we need to make a decision that we're going to do our best to be good ambassadors, to always shine a good light so that people will see that. And notice what He says. When they see your good works, they'll glorify your Father in heaven. We want them to be glorifying God. We're not looking for glory for ourselves, but we want to shine our light in such a way that it points people toward heaven. We are light. Ephesians 5:8 also tells us, it says, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. We are also the sons of light. 1 Thessalonians 5:5 tells us, you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. And yet there are many who wear the Christian name and claim to be Christians and yet continue to walk in the dark ways of the world. We can't do that if we're sons of light. Have you ever known a light to go and hang out in the darkness? Well, no, it couldn't happen, could it? Because if a light did go where there was darkness, it would light up the darkness. It would show the things that had been hidden by the darkness. We need to be lights like that. Wherever we go, the light needs to shine. Unlike these light bulbs, there shouldn't be a switch where we can either turn it on or off. Our light needs to be shining all the time. We need to always be ready to shine in the darkness. Well, what about the power of light? Light's a powerful thing. Matthew 5 and verse 14 says, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. You can't hide it. You know, there are some things that are very easy to hide, and there are some things that are very hard to hide. The sun is very hard to hide. You'd be hard-pressed to try to hide it. Oh, even on the darkest, cloudiest days, you can still tell the sun's out there. About the only time when the sun really hides is during an eclipse. And those are so rare. The moon has to be in just the right place to hide the light. And even at that, it can't hide it for very long. An hour, maybe two, three at the most, and then the sun is back out, shining again. You can't hide that kind of a light. Now, a little bitty light, a little flashlight, oh yeah, you can cup your hand over that and hide it pretty easily. Well, which are we going to be like? Are we going to be the bright light that can't be hidden? The city that's set on a hill, that's what Jesus said we were supposed to be. We're supposed to be out there shining for all the world to see. We don't notice it so much here, probably because there are so many hills and up and down, and you can't see over the next hill to the next town. But I know when we lived out on the plains in Colorado, you could drive out of town at night, and you could look down the road, and you could see the light of the next town. It might be 10 miles away. It might be 20 miles away. Even if it was 50 miles away, you could see the glow from the lights way off on the horizon. Now here you can see the lights of 2 or 3 miles away, maybe. But you could see it way off. And boy, those big old mountains, you could see those mountains from 100 miles away. See those things sticking up into the sky. And at night, a city up on top of those mountains with its lights on, you could see that city 100 miles. Oh, you might not be able to make out the individual buildings and things, but you could see that there was a city up there with lights glowing. You can see it 100 miles away. Well, Jesus isn't kidding when he says that a city that's on a hill can't be hidden. That's the kind of power that light has. Do you realize that as long as a light is shining, darkness cannot overtake it? You ever think about that? It doesn't matter how dark it gets. You can be in the bottom of the deepest, darkest cave in the world. But as long as you've got a light, no matter how much darkness there is around you, it can't overwhelm that light. Now, if that light goes out, if it loses its power source, then you'll be in darkness. But as long as that light is shining, you've got light. The darkness will never overpower it. And it's the same way with us. As long as we shine, the darkness of the world can never overcome us. Oh, it may try. It may beat at us. It may get darker and darker and darker. Have you ever noticed that during the day, lights don't seem nearly as bright as they do at night? When that big sun's shining, you don't notice lights that much. But boy, when the sun goes down and it gets dark, then you start to notice, boy, I'm glad we've got these lights. But you didn't notice them during the day. You couldn't even tell they were on sometimes. You try that after church. Go out, get in your car, shut the door, and turn on the interior lights and see if you can tell any difference. You can't even tell they're on. But when the light goes away, the sun goes away, and the darkness comes, you turn those lights on, and guess what? Well, you've got enough light, you could read, you can see the dials, you can mess with the radio and all those things, because you've got light. Light shining can never be overcome by darkness, no matter how dark it gets. In fact, the darker it gets, a little flicker of a candle seems. Just a little nightlight can make all the difference in total, if it was the difference between that and total darkness. Just a little bit of light. Light also is armor. Romans 13 and verse 12 says, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." You ever think about light as being an armor of sorts? We know how much wicked people love the darkness. We know some of them are bold enough that they'll do things even in the light, even during the day. But we know that the light is a protection against a lot of the wickedness in the world. That a lot of the wicked people just won't do things during the day that they would do in the dead of night. When it's dark outside, they'll do a lot of things because they think they can't be seen and won't be caught, that they wouldn't try to do in the brightness of the day. That light is an armor. And certainly spiritually, light is an armor for us. God's light can drive away all the darkness. Notice what Jesus says in Luke 11, 33 through 36. This is the parallel to Matthew 5, 14 through 16. He talks about not hiding the lamp under a basket or in a secret place, but on a lampstand. But then he says, "The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body also is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light." Just as when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light. If we let God's light into our lives and fill our lives with it, then we'll be all light and no darkness. But if we make our lives kind of like a house with separate rooms, and we let God only into certain rooms and allow the darkness to remain in other rooms, then we're going to have problems when we allow that darkness into our lives. Light, of course, also keeps us from stumbling. John 11, 9 through 10, Jesus said, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? Anyone who walks in the day does not stumble. because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light's not in him. We need to understand how important our role as light to the world is. We're the ones who have to be there to remind the world what's right, to remind them the difference between good and evil, so that they don't stumble, or so that when they do stumble, they do it of their own accord. We have to constantly be there to point out the right way to go, the way that's good, the way of righteousness. Of course, light must be projected. He says they don't light a lamp and then put it under a basket. That wouldn't make a whole lot of sense. I turn this flashlight on, but then leave it pointing down at the podium here. What good does that do? It doesn't do any good. Nobody can see it. Instead, we have to pick it up and shine it out so we can see there's a light on. Well, it's the same way with our lives. I've often wondered about those monasteries where people who are supposed to be Christian go and hide themselves away from the rest of the world. What kind of light is that? You go lock yourself in your room and be a Christian there all day and all night. What have you accomplished? Nothing. Well, maybe you have kept yourself unspotted by the world, but that's not our only goal in life. Not only are we supposed to keep ourselves unspotted from the world, but we're supposed to be a light in the world. We sure can't do that hidden away in our closet or in our bedroom. We've got to get out in the world. Jesus said, you don't light a lamp and then hide it underneath a basket so nobody can see it. You put it out where it can be seen. And that's what we have to do with our Christian lives. It doesn't do any good if we come and act like Christians on Sunday morning when we're all together. What's important is for us to be Christians when we're out in the world during the week. That's when it's important. Well, that doesn't mean we should come in here and act like hooligans. Or heathen, or like the devil. But we've got to be Christians out in the world. We've got to let our light shine out where it can be seen by other people. That's what makes it important. We must not hide our light. We must share it with others. Acts 13, verse 47. Jesus says, "For so the Lord has commanded us, I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth." It's interesting, this same quote from the Old Testament scriptures is also used to refer to Christ. But it's also, Paul uses it to refer to himself. And it's used also to refer to us as Christians. We're here to be light to the world. We can dispel darkness by the love that we have for one another. That's part of the light that we need to have shining. 1 John 2, verses 7 through 11. Verse 80 says, "Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there's no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and doesn't know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes." Love and light, hatred and darkness, they go together. And we're told to have the love for one another, and in that way, to also we can call others out of the darkness into the light. What a wonderful opportunity that we have. Acts 26 and verse 18 says, "To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me." Now this is specifically what Jesus told Paul as he was about to be converted. One of the goals that he had for him. But it's also a goal for all of us to turn others from darkness to the light. There are so many in the dark. And we need to let them see the light. We need to turn them so they can see the light. Then, of course, light is pure. Light and darkness don't mix. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, "Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion has light with darkness?" You know, darkness and light, just they don't hang out together. When one comes, the other goes many times. They don't stay in the same place. Now, the darkness may try to creep in around the light, and the light may try to push the darkness back, but they're not friends. They don't spend time together. We are to proclaim this same idea to the world. We need to let them know that there's right and there's wrong, and they don't mix. And all of this, well, you know, that's your truth, and I have my truth, and that's your faith, and I have my faith, and well, you know, can't we all just get along? No, we can't get along. Light and darkness can't get along. They're enemies by nature. And we need to be sure that we make that clear to the world. John 3:19-21 says, "And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Doesn't that sound like our generation? Well, it's not any different than it was then. "For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God." Now, those who are living in darkness, many times they're afraid of the light because they're afraid of what it's going to expose in their lives. They don't want people to know. I had a situation here just this past week in Congress with someone who had something exposed that he didn't want anybody to know. He wanted it to keep kept secret. Exposed in this life, or whether it's exposed in judgment, it's going to be exposed. We're much better off if the evil deeds that we've done are exposed now and we can repent of those deeds and turn from them and turn to the light. What a sad thing it's going to be for many who kept those things hidden in darkness. No one knew. But on the day of judgment, when those things are clearly exposed and they have nowhere to hide anymore, can't hide from God. Light and darkness don't mix. And then, of course, Matthew 5 and verse 16. Where does the praise go for the light? "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good work and glorify you." No, that's not what it says. "Give praise to your parents for raising you right." No, that's not what it says either. What it says is, they will give glory to your Father in heaven. Glory to God. That's where the praise needs to go. You know, when there's a light bulb shining, we don't, oh, wow, look at that bulb. Boy, isn't that really something. It is so special. Now, we might say, how in the world did Thomas Edison ever figure out how to make that thing work? I mean, I know if it was left up to me, we probably just have daytime during the daytime and darkness at night. Because I'd never be able to figure that out. How did he figure out how to put all that stuff together and make something shine like that? We don't praise the light bulb, we praise the fellow who invented the light bulb, don't we? We praise the electric company that sends the electricity through these wires so it can light up our houses. The light bulb is just a tool that's used by them. It's not so special in and of itself, and it didn't make itself to be considered great. There's nothing miraculous about it. It was made by someone else, someone smarter than it is. Well, the same way with us. We don't look for the praise ourselves as though we are something great. We know any greatness that's in us comes from God. And the glory and honor for anything that we can accomplish needs to go back to Him. We need to proclaim the praise of God. 1 Peter 2:9 and 10 tells us. And we need to share the glory of God with others. 2 Corinthians 4:6 tells us. All of these lights, they may be different styles. They may look different. They may have different ways of working. But they all serve the same purpose. And just as we as Christians, we may have a different talent. We may look different from each other. We may have different personalities. But our purpose needs to be the same. To be the light of the world. We need to understand it's a great privilege to be a light. And it means that we have a certain power, but with power comes a great responsibility to project that light. Now the little children sing that little song, "This Little Light of Mine," and sometimes we outgrown that. That's a wonderful song. We need to never outgrow that song. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And then the second verse talks about how I'm not going to hide it under a bushel. And I'm not going to let Satan blow it out. What a wonderful message. Not for children. That message is for us. Not just children. We need to learn that message. There's so many of the songs we've relegated to being children's songs that, boy, it can be so meaningful to us as adults. We need to understand that. But being light demands that we be pure. And also, it demands that we bring praise to God. If you're not a child of God, then it's impossible for you to be light. You see, the children, you're either a child of God or you're a child of the devil. And children of the devil don't have light. They have darkness. Children of God have light, not darkness. John 12:36. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. Not only must we believe, but we must also repent. Matthew 3:2 says, "Repent ye, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Well, the kingdom of heaven is more than at hand now. It's here. It's been here now for nearly 2,000 years. We better repent now. Because the time will come when it will be too late to repent. But then not only must we repent, we must confess. 1 John 4:15 says, "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him, and he in God." You want to have the light dwelling in you? You want to dwell in the light? You're going to have to confess. Then, of course, we must be baptized. Acts 8 and verse 12 says, "When they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." Thus, they didn't say a prayer. They didn't have a religious experience. They didn't tarry for the Holy Ghost. When they believed what was being preached and taught about Jesus being the Son of God and about the kingdom that He established, they were baptized. They didn't wait. And then, of course, once we become Christians, we must continue. "Take heed, therefore, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Even in Christians, it's possible for that evil heart of unbelief to spring up and cause them to depart from the living God. If you're here this morning and you have a need to respond to the invitation, either to become a Christian or as a Christian, to turn back to God, to repent of the evil in your life, and to be a light for Him once again. Whatever your need may be, we ask that you respond as we stand and as we sing.